Today, the Supreme Court hears arguments in an obscure tax case with potentially trillions of dollars in tax consequences for the federal budget. It is a case that has tax law specialists both gobsmacked and alarmed, as NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg tells us in this report.
The 16th Amendment to the Constitution was enacted in 1913 to establish Congress's power to collect federal income taxes. But the century-old legal understanding of that amendment is now being challenged by Charles and Kathleen Moore. Backed by anti-regulatory groups, they're specifically challenging a tax on offshore earnings that helped fund President Trump's huge corporate tax cut in 2017. The Moores contend they've never actually made money from their foreign investment in an Indian company. Yes, they concede their investment has increased in value by well over $500,000, but they maintain that because they've not yet received any actual money, they are being unconstitutionally taxed on unrealized income. Some of the facts the Moores have put forth are disputed, but importantly, this case is widely viewed by advocates on both sides as a preventive strike against any wealth tax of the kind proposed by Senator Elizabeth Warren. Not that anyone thinks such a tax has a real chance of passing in Congress. Still, if the Moores were to win, the federal government could be forced to pay back billions of dollars in corporate tax collections, and the effects for lots of other tax provisions could be profound. Paul Ryan was the Republican Speaker of the House who shepherded the 2017 tax law through the House, including the provision before the Supreme Court today.
Yeah, as a person who drafted that, I'm not for a wealth tax, but I think if you use this as the argument to spike a wealth tax, you're going to basically get rid of, I don't know, a third of the tax code.
The Moores are portrayed as sympathetic plaintiffs in Supreme Court briefs and a video posted on the webpage of the Anti-Regulatory Competitive Enterprise Institute. Here's Charles Moore describing how he invested $40,000 in his friend Ravi Agarwal's power tool business in India 18 years ago, an investment now worth more than $500,000.
If Indian farmers could be made more productive by bringing power tools to them that are suitable for their types of farms, that would be great.
Lawyers for the Moores describe the couple as playing no active role in the company. But documents disclosed by the tax publication Tax Notes show that Charles Moore was far more involved in the company's management than he let on. Records show that he served on the board of the company for 5 years, that he was reimbursed for thousands of dollars in travel expenses, and that he provided the company short-term infusions of cash that were never used, but repaid 60 days later with 12% interest. George Callis, who served for 15 years as a Republican staffer for tax writing committees in Congress, sees all this as rather suspicious.
Why would you loan a company money for 60 days, have it sit in a bank account, never be used, and then they repay it with a big interest rate, unless you were just trying to find a way to get money out of the company without calling it that?
All of this gets to the critical question posed by the Moores. The tax was imposed by Congress as a one-time payment to cover the transfer from one international tax rule to another. Under the old system, if you earned foreign income overseas in a foreign corporation in which you had a controlling interest, you wouldn't have to pay taxes on those earnings until you brought the profits back to the United States. Congress saw that as a perverse incentive to keep profits offshore, and by some estimates, there was as much as $3 trillion in shielded offshore profits at the time. In order to move to a new system, Congress decided to impose a very low tax rate, one-time transition tax. The Moores paid their one-time tax of $15,000 and then challenged it in court, arguing that it's an unconstitutional tax on unrealized income, not an income tax. Ilya Shapiro of the Conservative Manhattan Institute wrote a brief siding with the Moores.
They never saw income. It never hit their bank account. They never got cash. They never got a check. Their stake in the company increased, but they did not get any income.
But George Callas, who with Speaker Ryan drafted and steered the 2017 tax bill through the Republican House, says the Moore tax is realized income in just the same way that real estate and other business partnerships are taxed, whether or not the income is distributed. Similarly, he says Congress has used various devices to prevent corporations from setting up what are called corporate pocketbooks to escape paying taxes.
So in the international context, I'm going to set up a corporation in the Cayman Islands, and I'm going to contribute money, capital to it. And that corporation is going to make investments around the world. And as long as the profit stays in my Cayman subsidiary, I would never have to pay any tax, right? So we have something in the tax code that Congress enacted in 1962 that prevents that.
In other words, it's not just the Moore's one-time tax at risk in this case. Remember, this is a tax that is expected to yield $340 billion by 2027, and the lion's share of those taxes have already been collected. What's more, various other tax regimes have been enacted to prevent tax dodges by the rich, and those too could be at risk, according to Callas. In the Moore's case, they owned 11% of the Indian company, and under federal law, that's considered a controlling interest, meaning that the owners have influence over the timing of any distributions and dividends, a leverage that Congress wanted to rein in to prevent tax avoidance. So this may be a $15,000 case, but it has big trillion-dollar implications. And tax law experts from conservative to liberal warn that if the Supreme Court were to strike down this tax provision, the effects would be disastrous. The court's not just playing with fire, says Republican George Callas. It's playing with enriched uranium, and they don't even know they could blow up a large portion of the tax code. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.